Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign with crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the September 7 edition of Commodity Week. Soybeans tailed off this week, but not by much, and the export market for that crop has been red hot. We'll ask if USDA's upcoming crop production report, collected just prior to and as Isaac crossed the Midwest, will catch any of those beneficial rainfalls, or if the market will need to trade soybeans a bit blindly for another month today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Kevin Van Trump of the Van Trump Report and FarmDirection.com. Our panelists in studio today include Pete Manhart and Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities from New Market, Indiana, and on the phone line, Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. You can find us anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. Hey, if you're interested in making the game next Saturday, that's September the 15th against Charleston Southern right here in Memorial Stadium, I've got a deal for you. Search this line in Google, Illini Football, and Salute to Agriculture. You'll find an e-commerce site where you can pick up tickets for the Aces tailgate and the game for just $20. That's Salute to Agriculture against Charleston Southern, September the 15th, right here in Urbana-Champaign.
Support for Commodity Week comes from Agrigold Hybrids, featuring the Agrigold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgrigoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at ADM.com/FarmerView.
Well, let's open up today's discussion with this question. Should USDA's crop production report next Wednesday be the bar by which farmers make their across-the-scale marketing plans for the next month? And we'll start with you, Dan Zwicker.
Well, I'm not too sure that would necessarily be the case, but I would be concerned if USDA did bring down the numbers, maybe some as low as what some of the private types have been doing here this past week, and the market was unable to move higher. I think that would begin to worry me, especially on the technical front.
Pete Manhart?
I think it's to be decided later. If they really lowered a lot, I think if the market doesn't go up, I agree with Dan, but I think we'll see more bad yields come in later and it'll jump after the report.
And Dwayne Nelson.
Yeah, I agree with both of them. I think that if we go under 120 yield and we do not see a rally, it might be time to sell what you are sure you have.
Let's come back to the soybeans for just a bit this week. They kind of led things a bit lower, but not by much. The September contract at a high of $17.94 3/4. It's low at $17.22. Settlement price there at $17.31 3/4 was off 32 3/4, or down 32 3/4 of a cent for the week. November beans on the week. Remember, these are the weekly trades and changes. $17.36 1/2, 20 cents lower than Friday of last week. Wayne, do you think USDA will catch much of the benefit, if there is any, from Isaac and the rainfall that came last weekend as they were maybe out in the field still trying to collect a bit of data?
Well, you know, we were hoping that that rain would add to some of the later beans. We're hearing from most of our surveys out there from farmers actually out walking, looking, seeing, there wasn't a lot of benefit. We are probably seeing a few pods fill a little better and whatever along the way. We don't look for the government to drop their yields much, but we don't look for a big increase.
You think there will be any much of a change in the beans at all?
I don't think there will be much of a change in the beans at all.
Hey, Dan, when you look at the export market, an awful lot of beans have been pushed into the marketplace. Well, not completely pushed, but sold into the marketplace. Something along the lines of 60% or better than what USDA had projected for the marketing year. Will those be actually moved into the marketplace, do you suppose? Or is that just hedging their bets on the size of this year's crop?
No, I think they will. I mean, there's really no competition for soybeans until Brazil and Argentina start bringing in some beans next spring. So the U.S. is the principal source, and that's why you have seen such an aggressive booking for this fall from foreign buyers, foreign end users. And, yes, I do believe they're going to move on into the market channels, world market channels, and this is what's going to make it interesting. And, of course, everybody knows it, too, that you got to get it on the books and get it moved out of the country maybe before the politicians do get involved if we do have a real super short crop. And what would really be scary is if South America would begin to develop some weather problems. And for right now, anyway, the northern and central parts of Brazil are dry.
Does this tell you that you don't expect the pace to slow down at all, that we will continue to see marketings come at a rapid pace at least through, I don't know, maybe November?
We had another decent week this past week. Nothing, you know, spectacularly on fire, but I think demand is going to continue to come forward in fear of higher prices.
Right. USDA will release next Wednesday the crop production report. The soybean yields, as they're reported in by some of the industry specialists, the FC Stone numbers at 36.7 nationally, Informa with 35.4. And the USDA estimate from August was a 36.1. Soybean production in August from USDA was a 2.692. Informa's number at 2639 and FC Stone's number at 2739. Are those numbers about on line? I know you've taken that up at least once already, Pete.
I think they're about in line with what we expect. The thing that bothers me is the acres. What are they going to do with acres? How many wheat beans are they going to have in there? Are they going to add acres from FSA offices? And I think that'll be the big determining thing.
And let's turn your attention to the corn market now. September contract, 818 and a quarter for the high. The low at 787 and a quarter. Settlement price there at 795, and it settled 7.75 cents lower. December contract, 799 and a half, was down just a quarter of a cent. Informa's numbers were pretty interesting. Not their September number, Wayne, but their end-of-the-year number was wholly different.
Yeah, we haven't quite figured out where they're going to find those extra bushels by the time we finish harvesting and the yields out there. You know, we just took a trip up to northern Illinois on Thursday, drove through some pretty good corn country all up and down Route 47 there. It looked terrible. Mm-hmm. I will have to say that we saw combines running down through there. They weren't filling up fast or having to dump very often. So we think that central Illinois, we know that southern Illinois and southern Indiana are very poor. We know that central Indiana is not doing worth a darn. We've had some of the worst yields I've ever seen in my life.
Dan, what'd you think of the Informa numbers when you saw them?
Oh, probably like everybody else, confused, simply because I'm not quite clear what they're trying to accomplish by stating this is what we think USDA is going to issue on the September report. However, we think USJ is wrong, and ultimately we'll have to raise those yields up to a higher level by the time January comes around. So I think that it keeps the trade a little bit off balanced, and it's a little unclear what they're trying to accomplish here.
Yeah, so by the way, their estimate for next week is that 119.8, but their end of the year estimate is 126.5. So that is a huge jump, and it would really throw the marketplace, I suppose, if that really happened.
You know, I think Daryl Good's been their group has been one of the closest when it's all said and done over the last 3 years, haven't they, Todd? And isn't he down around 118?
He's down in that area, and he's got about a 10.2 billion bushel crop production for the year. So that's on the low side of what's been reported in most places at this time.
I think we're going to see a little bit lower at the end just because of what we're already getting of 30 to 60 yields in 200 bushel areas across central Illinois. But also the hot weather of the last 2 weeks in Minnesota has hurt that crop some there.
Let's go back to what the ag economists at the University of Illinois have been discussing. This week they wrote about RIN. Scott Irwin did that. That's the renewable identification numbers. And Scott has been of the opinion for quite some time that even if Washington, D.C. were to reduce the mandate for the RFS or renewable fuels, that it wouldn't make much difference because simply it makes economic sense for ethanol to be blended into the gasoline supply. You can see that in the spread between the wholesale price of gas and the ethanol price, which is about 50 cents. Dan, do you think that if Washington were to act, it would have much of an impact on the marketplace?
Well, my guess is that we're going to import more bushels of corn than what we actually think we're going to. There is, you know, Argentina corn making their way on up here into the southeastern part of the U.S. So all in all, maybe the supplies may end up being okay, and we won't have to do any kind of restriction of the mandate. But I do agree that at least until there's another source, ethanol demand is going to stay awful strong.
September wheat this week had a high of $8.90¾. It's low at $8.44, settled up 16¾ cents at $8.84¾. July futures were up 11 at $8.68¾. It's been mostly about Russian and Ukrainian wheat supply and whether they will or won't stop their export market.
That plus parts of Australia are awfully dry, and that's also helped push it up. And it was the leader a couple of days this week up strongly, and then it would back off towards the end. But I think, again, there's not as much wheat in the world as people think there is.
Well, I mean, as we look at that, let's face it, we think they'll be running out of wheat pretty much for exports in October, November. They have been the cheapest grocery store in town. Everybody's been going there. We've seen a lot of sales. We heard that this week there was rumors that actually part of it was optional origin in case that the Russian government did stick some heavy tariffs or anything on, that they might be able to source it someplace else, but actually bought out of Russia.
Dan, are you concerned about world supplies of coarse grains?
Well, I think you have to be, and I actually like the wheat chart for a move to a much higher level, and I think it's basically telling us in advance that maybe the corn crop's not there, and then actually the market's going to have to go after the wheat that basically the commercial grain trade has been storing and earning carrying charges on it. So I kind of think the wheat market could very likely go into an inverted situation, discourage storage of wheat, and bring wheat out into the open market. So that's something that I'm kind of keeping an eye on.
Would you be a mind for those producers who are planting wheat this fall that they should hold off on making any sales?
Any new crop sales,
yes.
I would. I mean, I don't think they probably will because the subsoil moistures and soil moistures really haven't been replenished. I do know that you got a little bit of Isaac in the eastern Corn Belt, but the hard red winter wheat areas are still very dry. And this drought has by no means been broken. We did get a little rain in there, and there's nothing around that says that this can't continue for some time yet.
CME livestock really interesting for the week. The October lean hogs, a 75.20 high, a low at 70.45. That settlement price at 71.35 was down $2.82.5. Just liquidation in the hog market?
I think you've got that too high a price, and let's get rid of some of them.
And there'll be more to come, I suppose.
You know, with the corn prices the way they are, Todd, we're going to probably think there'll be a little more herd liquidation.
Yeah, and Dan, is the livestock producer still the primary place where the squeeze comes in the marketplace when we're short both corn and soybeans?
Yes.
Livestock's going to take it on the chin, but I think the export market is going to be take it on the chin also. I mean, you can kind of look at what happened on corn export sales here this morning. Basically only had a net increase, time you count the cancellations and the new crop sales. There was just a real small net increase. So I think corn exports are going to suffer greatly, and you're probably going to see USDA back those numbers off probably on their supply-demand balance sheets.
You're listening, of course, to Commodity Week. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. We'll be back in just 2 minutes when we'll talk with Kevin Van Trump of the Fan Trump Report and FarmDirection.com. Our panelists in studio today include Pete Manhart, Wayne Nelson, and Dan Zwicker.
This is Jim Angel, state climatologist located at the Illinois State Water Survey at the Prairie Research Institute on the campus of the University of Illinois. After striking the Gulf Coast, the remains of Hurricane Isaac reached Illinois over the Labor Day weekend. While much weaker and classified as a tropical depression, that is a low-pressure system, it brought widespread and heavy rains across central and southern Illinois. Amounts of 2 to 4 inches were common, with some areas receiving 4 to 6 inches. Meanwhile, areas north of Interstate 80 received little, if any, rain from this event. Normally, this rain would have caused considerable flooding. However, it was spread out over 3 days, and the ground was so dry that most of it soaked in. Soil moisture readings suggest that soil conditions in much of Illinois have improved dramatically after Isaac. However, there still is room for improvement in northern Illinois. The revised soil moisture came too late for the corn crop and much of the soybean crop. Even so, it was reassuring that we've gone a long way towards recharging the soil moisture as we move into fall. The forecast for this weekend is for mild weather with clear skies, mild temperatures, and low humidity, a reminder that we are entering fall. Highs will be in the low 70s on Saturday across Illinois, lows near 50 Saturday night. On Sunday, highs will be in the mid to upper 70s, lows in the low 40s. It will be a little warmer for the period Monday through Thursday, with highs in the 80s and lows in the 60s. There is no significant chance of rain until next Friday. This is Jim Angel, state climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey.
This is the September 7 edition of Commodity Week.
Support for Commodity Week comes from Agrigold Hybrids, featuring the Agrigold Giants, a group of 5 new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgrigoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at ADM.com/FarmerView.
Our panelists in studio for this edition of Commodity Week include Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, and Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois. Dan Zwicker of CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana, is on one of the phone lines, and on the other phone line is our guest, Kevin Van Trump of the Fan Trump Report. Kevin, thank you so much for taking the time with us. You're in the western area of the growing regions. What does it look like as it sets up for the wheat planting season in Kansas and parts to the west?
Well, I think it's setting up a little bit better than some people may have anticipated. I think we're going to see some wheat planting. I think you're going to see the acres end up a little bit higher than a lot of guys are forecasting. I know Dan's a little bit fearful moving forward with wheat prices. I think we are, too. I like being a bull spread in the wheat. I think there's some definite reasoning, like Dan pointed out, that we could see some bushels flushed out here. And we think that there's a chance you could see that market turn and lead this thing a little bit as we move forward. And I think you're seeing prices encourage some more planting. We're hearing from a lot of seed guys and a lot of people out there that the wheat sales have picked up pretty well. And some of the other folks that we're talking to are anticipating that we're going to see some more winter wheat acres. So that's what we got right now in this area.
What's your corn crop final look like out there, except for the irrigated?
Well, I think you're going to see. I think we're kind of in agreement. I think the corn number's got to come down. I think the market right now is trading, what are we trading, probably 115 to 120, and I think there's a chance that, the Andersons and some of the other guys that we're talking to and everything, they're going to the lower end of that. So I think you're going to be sub 117, maybe 118. I think you got to be down in that range.
Kevin, we go along in here, a lot of us have no idea what we're going to have to produce or to sell along the way. Are you feeling that any of the farmers need to be doing anything to lock in a price here that we might see a harvest sell-off? Just for selling their crop that we want to move on because it's poor quality, or to guarantee or lock in the insurance money?
Yeah, I think you have to be making some sales up here. There's no question. I think a couple of people that have been on the radio show in the last couple of weeks have pointed out, the three main reasons are price and we've got the inversion and we got the strong basis, and it's really not encouraging anyone to store the bushels here. And I'm a little fearful that as this bigger supply moves from the south to the north here, just because of the lack of exports, I think you got to be a little bit worried about the basis, at least near term. Depends on when you're looking to make sales or how long, I guess, you're planning on storing the bushels becomes the magic question. I think in soy, I don't think the center of the storm's passed overhead yet. I think this storm's still brewing in the soy market, and I think there could be a very, very severe price storm, I guess, so to speak. I think it's setting up that you could see $20 soybeans. I'm not sure the severity or how we get there, or the roadmap that it takes, and I think that's what every producer kind of has to look at and make the evaluation on their own, is when they're looking to make the sales. What's their storage situation? How is the quality? Like you said, if you're only looking to store it, for 2-3 months here, you're going to make. I think you got to move it now and re-own on paper. If you're going to speculate, just speculate on price is all you're really speculating on anyway. So you might as well just do it with some type of cheap bulk call spread or limited risk type scenario is what I would say in this situation.
Dan,
what are you thinking on the corn market? How high is a sustainable price in December corn?
Seems like for most of the bigger players we're talking to and everything, I think a lot of guys are looking at $9. I'm a little nervous and fearful that you'd seen a lot of this money flow kind of change direction to some degree, that they're not coming in buying straight futures as they were. There's a lot of guys flipping to calls and doing bull call spreads, and I think you're getting that feel that maybe you're getting toppy up in here. And fundamentally, let's get on the same page. I'm with you. I think fundamentally this thing's still lined up. Drought scenario, I think the yields are going lower. I think the balance sheets are tight as can be, and I think we should push way higher. From a money flow perspective, I'm a little bit worried that some of the funds that we advise and some of the people that we're talking to, we haven't faced any real economic or macro market headwinds since June 1st. You go back and look at a chart, that's when this whole rally started, and the dollar's basically gotten weaker. Gold's rallied. The stock market's rallied. The word reallocation starts to pop into my head a little bit. If some of these bigger banks see this stock market continue to rally, and I know we all want to cheer for a stock market rally, but I know we've lived through the big rally years past. It was tough to attract money into the commodity market when that stock market really takes off and flies, and if you see some of the banks reallocate some of the funds into equities versus commodities, we might be having trouble with money flow moving forward. For that, that's my main fear right here. My main fear isn't so much the fundamental setup, because I think we're all on the same page that it's bullish. My fear is that will this macro market maybe present some headwinds? Will Europe, present another hurdle here within the next, 45 days, 60 days? Will the presidential elections, how will this fiscal cliff kind of play out? So if I'm looking to make sales before year end, I take advantage of this situation now, guys. If you can weather the storm and hold through this, I think you're going to see another fundamental push or wave to higher ground. I'm just not sure where we, you know, what level we make that push from, I guess, is the question, Dan.
That would be for corn. What about for soybeans? Do you make sales and then own it back as a speculator at some point on beans as well?
The question there, and here, this is probably a good question for Dan too, is in my, and this is what I'm trying to figure out, is it's not really if the U.S. runs out of beans, but when this is going to happen. I mean, is my question, I mean, is it more early summer, is it late summer? And then my question is, logistically speaking, can Brazil, you know, get the beans to the rest of the world? And when, if we, and when we import the beans, I mean, will they get past the crushers in Louisiana? I don't even know if we, the beans that hit the ports will get past the crushers down in that area. I think they gobble them all up. So, you know, the basis could explode, and cash beans could end up being the best play of all for our northern producers. We work our way up north. I just don't know how they get the beans up to that area later into the marketing year. So,
Dan, he asked, do you want to tackle either of those questions?
Well, it's going to be my guess is there's going to be a big delivery game played, because your exporter is going to want to stand for delivery, and that is the delivery process, because they want cash beans. Your processors, they can also stand for delivery, and then take them and then truck the beans on into the processing plants. But you're going to see a big fight on this inventory between processors, I think, in the northern areas, and your exporters that need these beans to fill these commitments. So it's going to be a very interesting situation, I think, as we go down the road this fall, because there's just a tremendous book of new crop beans down here at the Gulf, and the exporter is going to stand for delivery and try to force those cash beans to come down to New Orleans. The processor is going to want to try to hold them up north. So it's going to be quite interesting play, I think.
When you take a look, Kevin, at the broader picture, given what Dan has just told you then for beans, does it give you any insight into how you would like to make the play once you get beans harvested this fall?
Well, I think that's, like I said, I think it's such an individual question there, and what area you're in and how you're going to do it and what you can store, and if you're going to store the corn or you're going to store the beans. If it's perfect scenario and I have a decent bean yield in this situation and I'm not oversold or I don't have insurance issues, I think you store the beans. I think you take the risk, you take the gamble, and you store the beans, and you get past the first of the year. You see, I think there's going to be another story. You know, the media is going to run with any type of hiccup or glitch out of South America, and we get another giant spark. I think you're going to have logistical nightmares out of Brazil. I don't think China is going to have the supply to just domestically continue to auction off the beans and get the quality that the crushers want. I think the canola story is probably a complete bunch of crap. I don't think Canada is going to have the canola that they're saying that it's going to be able to supply China. I think there's going to be a major soybean story or explosion. Probably comes March, May, you know, somewhere out in that time frame. No, I think, you know, I mean, if you're looking for, I think the May, July bean spread has been a great play for a lot of guys. Are putting it on at a nickel to a dime to 20 cents. Some bigger players are trying to load up. There's thoughts that it could go to a buck to $2, you know, with some limited risk type play. So I think there's a major, major story building out there. Now, what these macro markets and some of these funds do between now and then is kind of a mystery, and that's where I'm,
okay.
I think everyone has to address their own situation.
We have 50 seconds left. 2013 sales, and we'll have everybody answer this. Should you make them for corn or soybeans? Just a yes or no. We'll start with you, Kevin.
Yes.
Pete?
Yes.
Wayne?
I think we should.
And Dan?
I'm going to stay a little patient due to the basically supply shortness of the 12 crop.
All right. That's Dan Zwicker. He's with CGB Enterprises. Our guest on the other phone line, of course, Kevin Van Trump of the Van Trump Report. Pete Manhart from Bates Commodities out of Normal here, as well as Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. That wraps up this edition of Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason.